The maimer we're going to learn this morning, or the piece of it, was delivered by the Rebbe on the eve of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. The year was 1985. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Parshas HaShavua opens with the words, go out of your land. But it doesn't just say lech me'artzecha, it says lech lecha. And lech lecha means go to you, or it's l'teivascha, l'hana'oscha, for your benefit, as Rashi tells us. V'yidua hamavur b'zeh. It is known with regard to what's explained in this, with regard to this pasuk, what's explained in Chassidus, in the teachings of Rabbi Seinu Nisienu, Rebbe says at length in Eidat Teir of the Tzemach Tzedek, also found in the Memorim of Teres Chaim of the Rebbe, the Mittel Rebbe. And this idea that the Rebbe is going to share with us now is also alluded to in the Torah of the Alter Rebbe himself. The inyan ha-halicha shebe-pasuk zeh, that the journey or movement in this pasuk, lech lecha, go for you, yesh be-beis pirushim. There are two distinct interpretations. Pirush echad, one meaning, and this is kedei isa be-zayar, like it's clearly stated in the Zayar, she-ha-halicha himilmaila lamata. That the journey's direction here is from a vantage point, a lofty vantage point, and the direction is decidedly downward. Taking something from a high level and actualizing it, bringing it down. The journey is downward. It's a downward descent. Upirish HaBeis, the second interpretation, which is also alluded to in the Sefer HaZoyer, is that the HaHalicha, that this journey, this trek that's being alluded to here, is milmata lamaila. The beginning of the journey, the destination, leaves from a lower level, and the direction is upward. Dehine, inyan halicha stam, when we talk about journeys or treks, or the idea of going, afsha teichne hu halicha midarga ledarga, even though that by definition, journeying, or trekking, or going, has to necessarily mean that we're going from one point to the next, as he frames it here, from one level to the next. Heipecha amida, it's the polar opposite of standing still and not going anywhere. Va'ad lahalicha ba'efen de'in areich, to really go somewhere, is not simply to go in a measured way, but really to transcend limitations, to go what we would call above and beyond, to go in a way which is, if you will, untethered, because if you're going, but you're going in circles, or you're going in a very measured way, a very predictable way, we wouldn't really call that a real journey. Somebody says we're going to set it on a real journey, we're going to go somewhere today. That means we're not going down the block, we're not going to the next neighborhood, we're going to go somewhere, we're going to transcend the present orbit that we find ourselves in. And this is a halicha to the point of that it could be an enormous leap forward. The meaning, shahadarga, that this destination or level that you seek to reach is be'ina reich legabe hadarga sheba mimena. It's not the next logical step or progression. It's a leap beyond. So, you know, we're talking about something very material in very, very spiritual terms. And the truth is that they're not mutually exclusive. Everything that happens in the material sense also happens in a spiritual sense. And just as it's possible for a person to physically journey, that your body could be in one place, and you pick yourself up and you move to another place, your body, you can also have a journey which is an emotional journey, you can have a journey which is an intellectual journey, you can have a journey which is a spiritual journey. And even though then physically you might not be going anywhere, there's still a journey that's taking place. There's a famous story that a friend of the Maggid's met him after many, many years. And he said to the Maggid, I understand you daven for a very long time. So the Maggid said, yeah, I daven with Kavanas Arizal. So the friend said, okay, I also daven with Kavanas Arizal. But the intentions and the special thoughts and meditations that the Arizal ordained, but why does it have to take so long? So the Maggid said, tell me, what do you do for a living these days? He says, well, I have a store, primarily my wife runs the business, but three times a year, I go to market week and I purchase all the merchandise and then I come back and then, you know, everything's unpacked into the shelves and then there's a retail end of the business. I'm not so involved in that. I study and I'm more involved in my spiritual pursuit. So the Maggid said, this journey business, how long does it take? He said, well, 2 weeks, whatever. A journey there and a journey back, and a few days spent purchasing merchandise. So the Maggid said, I don't understand. Why do you have to waste 2 weeks of your life journeying to a place and going back from a place? Why don't you just say the names of the cities that you're traveling to, or think about the names of the cities, and that's it. It could take you a half hour, the whole journey. You could simply recount the journey, and then recount the journey back, and you'll be done. So the man looked at the Maggid incredulously. He said, but you need to have the schoira. You need to have the merchandise. Ah, said the Maggid, yeah. So that's the meaning of davening with Kavanos Arizal. You need to have the merchandise. So we're talking about a journey over here. We're talking about a spiritual journey. We're talking about an intellectual journey, an emotional journey. The point of a journey is actually to get somewhere. And it's not just a question of saying things. It's not even a question of thinking about things necessarily. It's about actually getting somewhere. And the best example we could use for a journey is a physical journey. Now, of course, in the physical, literal journey, you could travel vertically. You can go to outer space. That's one kind of travel. And it's very far away, although you may be hovering exactly at the same spot where you left planet Earth. So in theory, you haven't left your longitudinal or latitudinal lines haven't changed. You're exactly where you were, which is not the case, but in theory, you could be exactly where you were, and you have an enormous journey that's very, very far away from home. And conversely, you could have a journey in which you go latitudinally or longitudinally, and you've gone away. You've gone far away, but really you haven't gone anywhere. You're still right here on planet Earth. So when we talk about a spiritual journey, there are different kinds of journeys, if you will, and there's a kind of journey in which we have to take something from a lofty level and bring it down, or travel with it into our realm, into the literal realm, which that means milmaila lamata. And then there's another kind of journey, and that's in which we have to extricate ourselves from a situation and go milmata, from a lower place, lamaila. And what's being conveyed to us here is that the Rabbeim, when they saw the pasuk of Lech Lecha, they saw within Lech Lecha two very different kinds of journeys. Because the journey of leaving the material reality behind and trying to put yourself into a higher spiritual place is very different than taking something lofty, something exalted, and actualizing it or bringing it down to a lower level. Very different kind of journey.
How's that journey from higher above to lower? I can understand going to Eretz Yisrael as an ascension. How is going to Eretz Yisrael a descension from going from Haran for Avram?
Well, here's the thing. It is distinctly possible that, not only possible, but it has to be, that when we talk about this in a material sense, Avraham Avinu can only have gone one direction. He couldn't have even gone two directions. Forget about going up or down and up. The idea of Lech Lecha can only be literal. He had to have gone from point A to point B. But Lech Lecha is then understood in a more proverbial sense. Lech Lecha is a message to every single Yid. It's not only a message to Avraham Avinu. So it's not as if every Jew, in order to fulfill his or her spiritual destiny, has to get on a plane, travel to Kurdistan or Iraq, find the ruins of Ur or Haran, and say, okay, now we're going to do the Abrahamic journey, because Lech Lecha, it's a mitzvah of the Torah. You got to go from Haran, you got to go to Eretz Yisrael. Besides the fact you'll probably not make it there alive, there's no such mitzvah. Right? So what then does it mean? So, of course Lech Lecha has eternal meaning. Ramban comes along and tells you, of course, Ma'aseh Avosim L'Banim. Of course it has meaning. Of course it's saying something. Of course it's communicating something. Oh, really? What? To go from Haran to Canaan? No. Haran is a place. It's a geography. It's also a concept. And Avram is a person, but Avram also represents a concept. The Torah is absolutely literal, and the Torah is absolutely non-literal, and both are true at the same time. If the Torah is only literal, so then whatever, it's just a lousy history book that misses out major points and obsesses over little details and doesn't tell the history very well. And if the Torah is only, chas v'shalom, some spiritual metaphor, not to be taken literally, then we have no Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit requires, there has to be, both of these have to be understood within the frame of Torah. And here we're talking about that journey of Lech Lecha on a more proverbial level. We believe that it was a man of Ram. He lived in Haran, originally in Ur-Kazdim. He did journey. And that literal journey is meaningful because a literal journey is difficult. It's difficult to uproot yourself from your parents' home. It's difficult to uproot yourself from your birthplace. It's difficult to acclimatize yourself to a new social reality. These are difficult things. Guess what? Yiddishkeit is difficult. Rewarding, but difficult. If you think it's going to be an easy, simple journey, you're making a big mistake. Lech Lecha was not easy for Avram. Avram had to transcend himself Every one of us has to transcend himself. Okay, but anyway, back to the to the Maimer. So Makob Makim Bezeg Gufa Efshali is Beis Eifanim Klali. We could have two general approaches to what we call our Jewish trek or journey. Halicha Mumaila Lamata and Halicha and Mumata Lamaila. Going from higher place into bringing things down into a lower reality, actualizing things, or elevating things. Sheheim, which they are, by definition, Shnei Hafachim, two polar opposite realities. They're two different journeys. They're not like parallel journeys, kind of similar. They're not similar. Omikivan Shenemer Lech Lecha Stam, because it just says plain Lech Lecha. Inyin HaHalicha Stam, B'lei Lefarash, just Halicha. Doesn't say Lech Lecha, go from Choron to Eretz Yisrael. If we would say go from Choron to Eretz Yisrael, then we would know it means to go from a low place to a high place. Because we learned that anywhere in the world you are, when you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you're making Aliyah. You're going up to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. But it doesn't say that. The Torah specifically didn't say Lech Lecha, didn't mention the destination A, a departure station, and it didn't mention a destination B, an arrival station. It doesn't mention that. It just says Lech Lecha. And because it says Lech Lecha Stam, without being specific, Tzarech Leimar Shezekoilol Beiz Eifanei HaAlicha. We must say that this Lech Lecha journey, on a spiritual sense, has to include both poles, both extremes, both kinds of spiritual journey. The Momata Lomaila and the Momaila Lomata, the from high to a lower, the downward journey, as well as the upwards journey. And the Rebbe says something interesting now. V'yesh Leimar, the Rebbe says, perhaps, and we know for the Rebbe, perhaps is for us a certain, Shezehu Makar Pirush HaBesein Nesiyenu. This is actually the source of the teaching of our Rebbe, so Chassidus. Shatevas Lech Lecha has Beis Pirushim. Why does Lech have Beis Pirushim? Mikivan Shenemar Halicha Stam. Because the Torah specifically couched it in amorphous terminology. And because, even though the Torah is literal, because even though the Torah is actual, meaning, Pshuta Yishol Mikra, the literal meaning, you cannot misconstrue it from its literal meaning. But even in the literal meaning, it's not clear. God could have told Avram Avinu, Lech from Choron at least. He could have given him at least the departure. He didn't give him the departure either. Everything is written in vague terms. Lech Lecha, go. Go. Where am I going from? To where am I going to? Lech Lecha, go. The verbiage that the Torah employs is broad. It's vague. It's amorphous. And that, therefore, this is the source, the idea that it contains within it two distinctly different kinds of directions. And so, for example, each and every one of us, somewhere during the month of Tishrei, hopefully, experienced a little bit of a soul elevation. We were a little closer to Hashem. We were a little bit outside of our ordinary life. Maybe it was on Yom Kippur. Maybe it was on Simchas Torah. Maybe it was on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know when. It's at some point. And then what happens? Then we say, Tishrei is over. What should you do? Then we say, V'yankiv halach l'darkei. That's the expression. Yaakov got off on the road. So it's a journey. What's the journey? The journey now is to take whatever we achieved during the month of Tishrei and to bring it down into the ordinary days that follow. That's the challenge. It's challenging to be in a time which is not inspirational and to try to live with the inspiration we had before. But there was inspiration. So now we have to take that. We have to journey forth with that. On the other hand, we all have a responsibility to take a look at every situation we're in and say, how do I elevate the situation? How do I lift myself and not allow the situation to get to me, not allow it to bring me down, but instead, how do I lift the situation? How do I pick myself up? Which really we do on a daily, every day when we daven. The whole davening is a sulam. It's a ladder, the Zohar says. It's mutzav arza. It starts in the ground. It comes to the very heavens. You start off with hoidu, which is a very vague acknowledgement. And you move from level to level. And what do you do after davening? Right away, you're supposed to start to study a little bit of Torah. The idea of saying of Olatzian, taking whatever you accomplished at the climax of davening and bringing it down in a manner that will affect how we live during the course of the day. Obira inyan v'pratias. So the Rebbe now goes into more details to explain this. Hine behemshech haparsha, in the continuation of this parsha, nizbayru gamkein beizefani halicha. Actually, in parshas Lech Lecha, there are two distinct journeys that are identified. There is a halicha milmaila lamata. There's a halicha in which we talk of Avram going from a higher place to a lower place, or what's known in simple Hebraic terminology, yirida, a descent. And then there's also a halicha mamata lamayla. There's a halicha which going from a lower place to a higher place, which is known in the vernacular as aliyah. Avobeza ifanim him biksuvim nifradim. These two different ways of journeying are found in different verses and different narratives and different episodes within the parsha. From this we can understand that it's not only a question of you can't be involved in two journeys at the same time, but contentfully speaking, they are also distinct. They're separate and apart. The first thing is we hear about Avraham Avinu going down into Mitzrayim. Why is he going to Mitzrayim? Does he want to leave the land of Canaan? Does he really want to become a citizen of Mitzrayim, which is called Ervas Ha'aretz, the nakedness, the most licentious place on the planet Earth? Is that where he wants to live? The answer is most definitely not. And anyway, God told him to go to Canaan. If God told him to go to Mitzrayim, we'll go to Mitzrayim. So why does he go? Because he has to go. He has no choice. Lagur Sham. Hainu Inyan HaYirid BeTachlis. He's going down, and it's a descent. He's going from Eretz Yisrael, which is called, literally and proverbially, Gavoya Mikol Aratzis, the highest of lands, the Gemara in Zvachim says. And you're going from Gavoya Mikol Aratzis, from the highest spot on earth, Begashmius, literally, materially, because we look at the globe as this being the top of the ball, not the North Pole. The spiritual North Pole is Mount Moriah. Uberuchnius, and spiritually, certainly, the Rebbe says the main thing about going Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael is not typography or geography or terrain. The main thing is Ruchnius. And because Eretz Yisrael is an exalted place, that's where the Gashmius comes from. Do you know why we look at Eretz Yisrael as the highest place? Do you know why it's necessary to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? Not because Eretz Yisrael is physically or literally or materially on top of the ball, but because Eretz Yisrael is spiritually higher. And because Eretz Yisrael is a place in which every single one of us can experience a closest to Hashem that's unparalleled, that's why, even physically, we're physically going up to Eretz Yisrael. Kimaimer, like the expression goes, Shenishtal Shalu Mehen. Like it says in Tanya, Shenishtal Shalu. It's a chain of descent. There's things which evolve or devolve from something else. So all of the material reality devolves or evolves out of the spiritual reality. And he goes into Eretz Mitzrayim, which is called Kerev Ha'aretz. Eretz means Artsius or materiality. This is Kerev Ha'aretz. This is the very, very core of the land. Whatever it is that Gashmius represents and Artsius represents, whatever is earthy, whatever is mundane, whatever is soil-like from a spiritual perspective. And then we have Ervas Ha'aretz. It's a licentious place. It's a place of literally, erva means nakedness. And that's the kind of place it was. It was a place in which people were judged entirely by their skin and not by their content. They were all looked at physical beauty. That was the only commodity. When Sari Menu popped out of the box, they didn't ask her what she thinks about world events. They didn't quiz her about theology and say, wow, she's such a wise woman. It's very impressive. They took one look. All they saw is flesh. That's all they saw. So, oh, she's pretty. That's all. Not different from the Western world today. And this is the idea of obsession of over materiality and nothing else. That's Sheker Achein, when it's nothing else. It's just the surface. Everything is an empty suit. Everything is only looked at for the surface rather than for the depth and the profundity. What does a person represent? This is called the Tachtim B'Yeser. So when Avram did that, it's a halicha milmaila. He went from a high place, lamata. And that's called, in Oifen of Einarich, the difference between Eretz Yisrael, what Eretz Yisrael could be. And Avraham Avinu was initially traveling towards Yerushalayim, the apex of spirituality, to go into Mitzrayim was an enormous leap down. A jump down. V'achakach, and then b'psukim difrodim, in a separate set of verses, which we know midrashically could have been as much as 6 months later. Mesaper akosav al derech ha'alicha v'aliyah milmata l'mayla. We hear about Avraham Avinu going the other direction. K'meshach kosav l'acharizel, like it says after this, that the Torah goes on and specifies and says, v'yal Avraham. Does Avraham went up? What does it say? It says v'yal. It says he went up. All these things we talked about, which defined Mitzrayim at the time, going to Eretz HaKodesh, going to the Holy Land, and it's in a separate set. It's like two different times. Avram, he experienced A, he experienced B. He did one kind of journey, did a second kind of journey. Two separate kind of journeys. Very different from one another. Different times, different verses, different frames, different narratives. We even hear about this idea of Yerida, a descent, which is let's say Rechaliyah, because the Yerida, the going down, actually came burned to a higher place afterwards. Because after he went down, Avraham Avinu came back. Avraham Avinu, like it says, that now he knew why he had to go down. It was a Yerida. It was a descent, let's say Rechaliyah, that Avraham now is covered, Ma'id. Avraham came, so to speak, laden, heavy. The Mikne, with livestock, Bekesef, Bezav, with silver, with gold, which is an Ilui Gadol b'Avraham Avinu. This represents an enormous elevation, a positive transformation of Ram. Didn't have this before the Yerida. If you learn the Pasuk literally, Avram literally was a pauper. He didn't have the ability to put bread on his table. No, everybody laughed at him. He was being mocked by the people. He was denigrated. He has no influence. And now all of a sudden he's an influencer. Now all of a sudden he's a mandomer. He's a somebody. He's got what to offer. And especially the way we understand it midrashically, that it doesn't refer only to material wealth, but Avraham Avinu came out of this experience elevated, transformed in a positive way. But these psukim, these two different kinds of halicha, they're talked about in different episodes. What then is the chiddush of Lech Lecha? The Rebbe says an amazing thing. The chiddush of Lech Lecha is that a person can be expected to, and Hashem calls him to experience Beis Oifani Halicha. In other words, Milmaila Lamata and Milmata Lamaila, a Yerida and an Aliyah, actualizing things and at the same time elevating oneself, and it should be done at the same time. This should be in one journey. You should have both of these Ifanim. At once, a person should be extricating himself from the materiality, and at the same time, he should be actualizing holiness, which even though they are Hafchim in Akatsa Lakatsa, this is nonetheless the calling of Lech Lecha. So this is a very, very deep and profound concept. This is really a definition of what a Yid's life is. A Yid cannot say, okay, now I'm doing Aliyah. That's what I'm doing now. Sorry, but could you teach me Torah? Sorry, now I'm doing Aliyah. And then afterwards, now we're doing Yerida. No, the real journey, the real soul trek of Avraham Avinu that we need to emulate is when a person can do an Aliyah and a Yerida, the journeys in both directions at the same time. And unfortunately, we don't have out of time, but the Maimon that ever goes on to explain how this is possible and what the Rabbeinu Shlomo expects of us. Good Shabbos to everybody online. Thank you all for joining us. And we should have success in our journeys.